Blog Talk Radio.
Let's start the show.
I believe in you.
Yeah.
Close the door.
You're tuned in to NSF Radio. Your host, Brother Alfred, and Carl Ben Groovy.
Once again, we are here, Brother Alfred and Brother Kofi's in the house. Welcome to NSF Radio, where we're always speaking the truth, speaking from the mind, live and direct, right here for you, right there, keeping it real 100% of the time. Every time you turn around, you know we're always trying to keep a subject that, you know, people are not really talking about, but they definitely are interested into. All right. So, like I said, we are here. We are live. Me and Brother Koopy is in the house. So, listen, you have any questions, please be free to call, give us a call. We are live and direct here. Today, we are on a remote access, so you might hear a little wind in the background. That's what's going on, because guess what? We're keeping it real for you. We're not just standing in a booth all day. You know, we out here talking to the people, conversating, getting questions, answering questions, finding out what's definitely need to be said. All right. So with that being said, please call us. Give us a call. All right. And we'll be glad to talk to you about anything and everything. But today's subject we're going to be focusing on is family and love. What makes a family dynamic? What is going on? What makes your family your family so unique? What's unique about your family? What's going on in your household? What kind of perspectives are you looking at? What is your feel? You know, does family be determined by blood, genetic, or is family just somebody that family that you is a term to you that you love that person, you care about that person, and that person is very valuable to you to the point that you will risk everything for them. What will consist of that? So, Brother Kofi, are you in the house? Brother Kofi, are you in the house? Brother, come on, everybody. We got to get on this today. Today is definitely one of those days, and we're just trying to get out here to people. So just get on, talk to us, find out what's happening. Okay.
Apologies for that. I'm doing some board running today, not used to doing it on this show. But, yeah, I'm definitely here. You know, good afternoon. Thanks for, allowing me to be with you and to talk to the people as always.
Yeah. Now, today we're just talking to audience when we just get ready to get into the subject of what's the family dynamic? What determines what is a family? Is it, you know, is it the typical structure, you know? And, Kobe, you know, you always give out that good history about that. What's the dynamic of family? What makes a family? Is it blood? Is the history teller? Is it blood relations, or is it a specific kind of structure that determines that is what a family is?
Well, I mean, whether we're talking about his story or our story or whatever, I think that you always got to look at things. It's really coming from where you're coming from. Like, you know, as for me in my house, you know, we're always going to be very Afrocentric, and some people would say religious, but you know, like family is really what's familiar. And so when you talk about this, just like we talked about love and relationships and when to come out of them and things like that, when we're talking about family, you got to understand that you're dealing with familiar. You know, you're dealing with what people believe is familiar to them. So, you know, it used to be that family was blood, but also family was always familiar. What do I mean by that? I mean that you could be anywhere on earth, but your family tried to stay familiar, tried to make sure that they were tied, connected, et cetera. Now we're in this situation where, you know, people are family, you know, as many people today are. We were talking about this with the COVID situation where we're finding out that people will be family by blood, but once they have an opportunity to separate, they're no longer together. So, you know, there's a lot of people where that family dynamic is no longer what we are familiar with. We don't think of being together. We don't think of checking on each other, calling each other, looking out for each other. We don't think of these things as being necessary in order to have a proper familiar or family type of environment. So we drop the ball on that a lot. And, you know, but there's tons of ways you can think about it. I mean, obviously, I still believe that family is something that should be by blood, whether your family acts right or not. But also, let's be honest, some family doesn't act like family as far as what we think in the sense of loving and nurturing, et cetera, which is where that saying comes from, you know, that not all kinfolk, where we got a lot of people
right.
that are, if you want to say that they're family or familiar from the black perspective, as far as melanin in their skin or having the same background as far as Africa or you know, native indigenous places, things like that. There are a lot of people who are not familiar because here's the deal. All that we're talking about is going to be cultural. So our culture is always
right.
important. So culturally speaking, a lot of people don't look at what it used to be, which is, look, if you grow up in the same culture, then you're the same family. But because we don't really care about culture that much anymore, we're no longer the same family. We're no longer we don't have a culture that is our own. If you don't develop a culture, then you can't really develop a family or what is familiar. And that's kind of where we are today.
Right, right. And I mean, I look at that too, because look at me. I mean, I have a philosophy. Home is where the heart is. Family is the ones who are there for you in the time of need. And, you know, I have big family. When I go to a job, you have two different kinds of families. You got your work family and then your home family. You know, just like, you know, some people actually play around with the wife, say, I got a work wife and I got my housewife. You know, in
yeah,
these kind
yeah,
of terms. Yeah, that's a little dangerous, yeah. But see, we in today's society, this is how we set up dynamics. We put these boundaries in place through psychiatry, through theology, is boundaries are put there for you can have a buffer to feel comfortable in that environment, okay? I'll give you a perfect example, okay? I work at a carpet company warehouse, okay? Now, in this dynamic, there is the cool sister, the cool uncle, there is a big boss who is like big brother or dad in some ways, and, you know, and these labels are being put on these people because the people want to feel comfortable in their environment. And within that environment, they, you know, they start mentally, and the more you keep saying, hey, Uncle Joe, hey, Uncle Frank, or hey, this, or hey, that, it becomes, okay, this is who I think they are. And it becomes a familiar, and then you start to feel comfortable, and as you're feeling comfortable in that position, you start to able to subjugate yourself into saying, well, this is my family. But you put an extra name on it and say, well, this is my work family. This is the family I go home to. That's my blood family. That's the family. It's my wife there. And I got a work wife. She takes care of me at work. She gives me a little extra paperwork, or she plays, you know, she a little easier on me on the work and the speed of the job.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We actually, if we know the comedian Bash, what's his name? King Bash. Okay, I don't know if you heard of him before, but
no,
King Bash does these comedy skits on there, right? And he did one about work wife. Okay, the work wife, and in that aspect.
So what happened was the work wife was, the work wife was sitting there and she was, you know, being nice and sweet, giving him some cool accounts to handle, to make some extra money, you know what I'm saying, and do whatever. And then housewife comes to the work job and it blew up. And they say, you know, that bitch, this is the bitch you freaking come, you talking to me about, damn time? That's the hoe. You know, this is kind of crazy on the language, man. You know what I'm saying? That's coming out of this situation because, like you said, that's dangerous. It can be toxic in some way. You know, but it's what it is right now. What it is right now is that we need to be able to try to communicate ourselves and able to understand. Now, here's the part of the education part I tell all y'all out there. When you're dealing with these kind of environments and this kind of situation, you have to make sure your mind is clear that these people are not really related to you. And there is boundaries that you put there, but you also got to be able to respect each other's personal separation because you cannot get envious when they say, well, I'm going with my brother, but I'm your brother. Or I'm going with my uncle, but no, I'm your uncle. You know what I'm saying? And you cannot let that feeling of hurt devalue the relationship that you've already built with that person. Do you understand? You know what I mean? So So like I said, I tell people when you're out here and you're building these relationships with people, you're building these bonds in this situation. Now, let's get to the nitty gritty. We talked about basically we're going over the basics of the building of one. Now let's talk about the breaking of one. Okay, and see if it does need to be broken or should it be broken still. Now let's say you divorce somebody, you divorce your wife, and you married into her family, she married into your family. You're cool with her family, like you're all best friends almost, and, you know, and vice versa. But now there has been complications that come along, and there's a divorce on the plate right now. Do you still consider them to be family, or do you break the ties? You know? But, Cooper, what you think about that part?
I mean, well, you said a lot in a little bit of time, but I would say that as far as the last question, the last part of what you're talking about, for me, that's pretty simple. I think for most people, you know, it's pretty simple. If you're dealing with a divorce, you know, it's not even healthy to consider that person what they once were. Matter of fact, it's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for the children. It's not healthy for really anybody involved in this. You've got to look at that as separate. If you guys, now I'm somebody who believes that you should try to work everything out so that you don't get to the point of divorce. And I believe even if you do have a divorce, if you so decide to go back down that road, then there are measures that you can take later on to where you can work towards getting back to that. But if you're going to be divorced, for everybody involved who will be connected to you, that might be your family, because you've got children, you have family members that know each other, you've got friends that are involved on both sides, et cetera. You've got to find ways to make that divorce work. But also, two people don't even understand the word divorce. Really, it's talking about death. So when you divorce somebody, you're actually talking about death. This is somebody who you're supposed to be one with, and a part of yourself is dying. And so you have to almost go through an ability to make sure that you're not you know, basically just being in a position to where you are dealing with, you know, or you have to find a way to be able to get out of debt, you know, really to get away from you know, it's like if you were losing somebody, if you were to lose your spouse, your brain, your mind, your emotions go through the same thing as if you were to lose a wife. You know, if I were married and I were to lose somebody, like, you know, to a physical death and bury them in the grave, your brain does the same thing if you go through divorce. So
right,
if you're
right.
going to go through this route, you have to actually make sure that you're able to consider things on that level. You know, so that's something that's important. As far as what you were talking about before, I would say too, that's one of the reasons why you have to be careful when you were talking about your work wife and your play and your real wife and all this other stuff. That's why we have to be careful in giving out these titles and things from the beginning and making sure that we have boundaries. Because what happens really is the human mind doesn't understand all these games that you're playing. And if you give people that position, that leads to people thinking that they have the right to be able to speak on things or to treat you as such or to start going out on meals, so, you know, just for lunch or something else later on. And the reality is nobody should ever get the respect of even being called your wife or being called your husband outside of that person who, you know, not only is blessed to be in that position but also should be the person that, you know, went through enough to prove that they deserve that position. So when you start doing that, you start doing all types of stuff that lead you, you know, down confusion for no reason whatsoever. Then, of course, like you said, now you're telling the business of what's in your home to people that are at your job. And all that comes down to making sure, we had talked about this a long time ago, but that comes down to, you know, the three C's I talked about a long time ago: confidants, constituents, and comrades. A confidant is somebody who's for you. And if you get one or two of those people your whole life, you're a blessed somebody. A constituent is somebody that's not for you, but they're for what you're for. So they don't care about you, but they care about getting something out of you. And then if they can find somebody else to get there quicker, they'll do so. And then you have comrades. They're not for you, and they're not for what you're for, but they're against what you're against. So basically the enemy,
right.
my friend type of thing. So, yeah, people are putting themselves in all types of positions. To when you're assuming that somebody should be a confidant, or you're saying this is my work version of a confidant, and that person could care less. You give them what they need at work, maybe even sexually, or maybe give them some attention they don't get at home, but they could care less about you. So it's dangerous in many different forms.
Right, because you know what? I'm going to say that because I give you a perfect example. You know, I love my mama. Trust me, I love my mother, my blood mom from birth to the time she passed away. But there's an incident that popped up in my head while we was talking. I was working at a supermarket in Brockton, Massachusetts, okay? And I was young, and there was this lady. Her name was Julie. Julie was this sweet lady. I mean, everybody loved Julie. And she was kind, and then she knows she always look out for you, and she has that instinct. The term mothering, she's a mothering kind of person, she, you know, and when she was, you know, because of that, so I call her my work mama. So that incident, like King Bad thing, but it happened with me as well. And like I said, I always try to use myself as an example of my past to help those who need the help. So my mom came in to the supermarket to buy a few things and to see me and just to check on me and see if I'm working good, a hard worker or what, so she can be proud and say, my son's got a job, a good job. And Miss Julie come out there, they start talking and cool. But my mom, who she is, she's the most sweetest lady in the town, you know, and she would literally be a pacifist, but you can see in her eyes of, oh, if that's your mama, then let her fucking clean up your damn room. You know, that kind of attitude, like, you know, but it was like, it was humble, but it was there. So, you know, when you do certain things like that, it can, you know, the basic science, like I always say, cause and effect. You know? If you use a cosmic something on somebody, you got to understand to be able to take the reparations that's going to happen with that effect of you doing it or putting that label on that person. So yes, we got to agree on that, but we also got to look at the other aspects. classism with the country. Now, let's look at it from a class situation. Okay. Now, let's say you're a poor person, and you know your family's passed away. You know, basically, you're almost the only living member of your family that you know about, and your situation it seems very toxic right now. But you need some family love. You want family love. Now, you go in this dynamic, you have friends that you've known for years, or you know for a couple years, or let's say 5 or 6 years, right? And you build this bond. Now, you use that term. Well, guess what? You're my brother. You're my sister. You're my cousin. You're this. You're that. And because they were there through the hard times and you have nobody else, but does the question asks you, can you consider that dynamic your family? Can you? Now, go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, it depends on the person. People prove who they are by their actions once again, you know, and a lot of times we're quick to plug everybody into certain situations that they may not necessarily need to be plugged into. Then that's really on us more so than the other person. Once again, we will put people out of their position. And I'm somebody who honestly, you know, has to look at myself in the mirror and say that, yeah, I definitely was that person at one time, you know, where I wanted. You know, I had defections, you know, I had certain things missing in my life. You know, my mother, my actual mother passed away, you know, early in my life. And so, you know, when you get a play mother or somebody that says they're going to do this or do that, you might have somebody who swears up and down that they're going to, you know, treat you correctly and then even maybe get types of love interest or different things like that. Like there's all types of stuff, but it's usually on us for putting people out of position. We'll normally call somebody something or give somebody a title that they are not, in fact, ready for, you know, and are going to be good at as far as making sure they treat us properly within that position we give them. And so you have to, once again, look at what are you doing? Because even when we give this energy, when we give this power, when we give these positions to people, one of the things that we rarely do is before we give them the position, do we school, you know, or not school, do we kind of search them, you know, look, give them a resume, search, so to speak, and say, yeah, before I say you're going to be my play mom or my play cousin, you know, I love you like a play cousin, I say all these things, are you worthy of somebody that would be a cousin? Are you worthy of somebody who I would give that affection to? Do I trust you with certain things? And if the answer is no, then it's not no play cousin type of whatever. You don't even give them any right in your mind or in their mind to even think that there's something there. That's on us. You know, I often talk about the reparations and stuff. A lot of people will say that white people need to give us this and that and the other. And by the way, I'm not mad at that because, yeah, you do deserve something back for certain things that have happened historically. But sometimes we got to be honest and be real and say, okay, well, what have we done as far as making sure that we can actually have, you know, we don't have to depend on anybody else to be able to look at how we feel about ourselves. You know, we can say all this stuff, but the reality is, what are we doing on our end before we even give somebody that opportunity as the person who's going to be our savior in any way, shape, or form? And it's the same thing, you know, what places have we given people the right to have in our lives that maybe they should have never had?
Right. See, I tell everybody, listen, which is it's technical. Now, here's where we get a little deeper on this. All right, let's take this perspective on a religious situation. Okay, me, I'm a student in Islam. I'm Muslim, yes, but I was born Christian. I was raised Christian till long ago, but I understand all the laws and values that come along with it. Now, from a Muslim standpoint, if you have a problem dealing with bad blood, you cannot break that relationship. Some people will say, okay, you done me wrong in your life, so you're no longer my family. I disown you. We've heard this on TV where they say, you're no longer my son. Get out of my house. Go. You know, you no longer family. Get away. I test you out. You no longer. You are not here. Do not come to my house. You are no longer my son. We've heard that from Europeans. We've heard that they're from, you know, from different aspects. Now, you can't do that. In Islam, you're not allowed to do that. You can't break off relationships. It's considered sin. But in Christianity, they also teach that do not associate with those who not worship God. Do not, those who not worship the Christ, who do not accept Christ, do not associate with them. So that if they're talking about, they're not saying just one person, one type of person, all people. If Christ is not in your heart, then that means I should not associate with you. And these are some of the views of the Christian view. Now, the very value of a family dynamic is very strong in Judaism. And because of that, because it is the family diaspora that allows that person's strength to stay up. But what happens to you if that dynamic, the whole structure starts to crumble, where the support is not really there, or you feel some kind of way, and now your situation I don't feel like they're my family anymore. You know, I would say in Arabic, it's not haram. It's haram, or not halal. You know, it's almost shirk. But if you went from Christian point of view, it's more like, well, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, and since there is no 1 + 1, and I'm minus that one from the other one, I'm just an individual, not a family dynamic. You know? So, like I said, we can figure out and look at ourselves and able to go into this thought process, able to be an analytical thinker with this. So I tell everybody, and I want everybody that's listening, I want everybody to listen, start thinking in an analytical thinking kind of mindset. Look at it. If you have a situation that does not feel comfortable within your circle that you've been raised in or part of, analyze that circle, but do not overanalyze. You know, a minister once told me, he said, I don't understand, I overstand. Okay? So I overstand the whole situation. I've seen it from a higher plane, and I can look down and say, okay, that is the way it should be. That is the way that we should put this out. Or this is how we should deal with this. Okay? But never put yourself in a position to harm yourself in what you do. Okay? But right now, I want to take a little bit of a commercial break right now and let everybody know, please, stay tuned. Because we are going to do a special starting next Thursday. We are going to do a 3-week series. All right? I plan on doing this, which is we heard the words, okay? We heard the book about the 5 love languages, okay? We talked about love. We talked about family. We talked about breaking up. Now, let's get into the next nitty-gritty. We're about to get into the next part is, what are the 5 anger languages? The languages of anger. How does people express themselves when they're dissatisfied in this world and when they do not want to communicate or they feel like they some kind of way? How do they express their anger, and how you can tell the signs of it all. So stay tuned. Be in tune every Thursday, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on NSF Radio Show, okay, and on NSF Radio. We are broadcasting live. Also, we have Brother QB coming up on every Saturday. We want you to tune in. Please tune in. Stay tuned for everything like that and keep it going, going. All right. So, Brother Kofi, what we got coming up this week, coming on Kofi Speaks?
Well, on Saturday, we're going to have another great guest, a guy by the name of Nub the Poet. That's N-A-B, like Nav, what we would think or say, but Nub the Poet, a guy from the Sikh faith, and does a lot of stuff to be able to teach people what his beliefs are, how he believes we should be doing those, et cetera. And so we're just going to have a nice little conversation with him, have him come on, get his thoughts on some of the stuff that he sees as far as Black Lives Matter, as far as how to be a good family member, as far as how to make sure that you're taking care of others. We're going to have him come on and have a good conversation.
Okay, I'm definitely telling that to you. I'm tuning in. Trust me, I will be there with bells on. Well, and not bells, but I got keys. I got some keys, so I'll jingle the keys instead of the bells. So,
yeah,
but
and also too, we're gonna. You know what? I've been thinking about it, but I know if I'm gonna do it, we need to make an announcement now. So we'll just go ahead and do it like this. So I wasn't able. We were supposed to have consciously on last week, and we actually had a mix-up, and then he ended up having to do some teaching that somebody else, one of his colleagues, was supposed to do and didn't do, so he had to go away from that. But we actually did a make-good, so we were able to actually have conversation. And what we'll do is, since he wasn't able to come on and we weren't able to make it work, we actually recorded some of our conversation that we had over the phone. So what we'll do is, for all of you guys, once we have Nub the Poet on and he finishes, we'll go another hour after that where we'll just let you guys listen to the recording of that. So all of you guys who were, who didn't have a chance to listen to him last week, we'll make sure that we put it on. So you'll actually get two guests for the price of one. You get two shows for the price of one. You'll get to hear the interview with Consciously, and then you'll be able to hear Nub the Poet going in first.
Kofi Speaks. Now, let me tell you something, man. I tell everybody, listen, everybody knows when Kofi speaks, man, he's giving voice to the voiceless. He is the man, the shadow band, the number one man. And trust me, if you think he's really hot, then you should check out his gear, man. He's got the hottest gear. I mean, these sneakers, these Kofi Speaks sneakers, I swear to God, they're tight. I mean, they're really, really tight. I mean, he got the whole look and everything coming on it. You know, so get yourself a pair. Just go down to NSF Radio, and then definitely check it out. Log in, check in, go to Facebook. We're on Instagram, NSF Radio. We are live, NSF Radio live. We are tuned in every week. We want you to tune in too. So participate. So come on in. Oh, by the way, after the 3-week series, we will be having a special guest, the Financial Master, are coming on. So if you're having trouble trying to build up your money, right, if you're having trouble and you want to be able to get that finance in the best way, or you want to be able to get your portfolio made up, if you don't know where a portfolio is, we'll go into all that. We're going to have Brother Nick from National Investing Firm, and his partner will be coming on the radio. So please tune in.
Oh, that's cool.
Going to be good, because what we're going to do is we're going to teach you how to put your money away, keep your money, double up your money, where to invest your money, as well as show you how to make your money work for you instead of sitting in a bank wishing for 1% interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So tune in, be part of the show, and keep it on. All right. Now let's get back into it. Now, we've been talking about the family dynamic. Now, the family dynamic has been determined by the basics understanding of love, you know, what love, does love really define that family, or is it blood that defines that family? We've talked about is it difference between work families and house families, and we also got into the other parts of it, okay? Man, we even talked about, does the family dynamic stay together when divorce is put into place? We got into that. Now, we just need to get into the one of the other things. What is the whole scene when it comes to the children aspect, okay? If a child does not feel comfortable around one side of the family, does that child consider that person a family? Do they still accept that child, that side of the family? Okay? Some of us, well, you look like this. Some of us are more closer to our mom's side of family than their dad's side of family. Some are more closer to our dad's side of the family than our mom's side of family. Is the mental aspect of it all, or the thought process during that time, are we saying, are we denouncing that side of the family when we think about that? Because we don't do, because we don't relate, or we don't conversate with them, or we don't talk to them. We don't even have their phone number. We don't reach out with them through social media. We don't, you know, we don't do this. We don't do that with that side of the family. You know, we have to look at this and ask ourselves, do we still consider them family because the label is put on them? Or do we, are we seeing in our mind, well, them are just people? So what you think about that one?
I mean, I can see some of it. I definitely think it's something that needs to be discussed. There's even different dynamics with different cultures, once again, because we don't bring culture and things and other things into it. So, I mean, like, for example, in the black community, you grow up, and even nowadays, because we're taught a lot of lies, a lot of us assume that, you know, like, black fathers are usually not going to be there for the children and things like that. So let's just use that as something. Let's just, for the sake of argument, act like that's mostly true. So if you come from there in the black community, a lot of people are already saying, oh, yeah, you know, I've got a, you know, baby mama or baby daddy, or, yeah, my father's not there, or whatever. You know, it's part of the culture almost. It's something that has been ingrained in people's brains. But if you were to ask a white child. Now, I had the opportunity to be able to go to school with white children towards the end of my, childhood academic career, if you will, and like high school and stuff. And you would have children there that I had never seen their fathers. They hadn't seen their fathers for years, but they would never consider themselves to be fatherless. But in our community, you could have a father that they know, and that's trying to take care of them as much as they can, and we still will call them a deadbeat father because we look to be negative. So you'll have children who deal with that dynamic to where they may pit one against the other because everybody's telling them to. I know I've seen situations where mothers and fathers are getting ready to go their own way, and they are talking about this stuff openly in front of their children, and the children begin to choose one against the other. Some people try to divorce themselves from parents. You know, Macaulay Culkin, one of the most famous. So there's a lot to bring to the table in that. The reality, once again, is what are we dealing with as far as family and familiar? Like I was going back to earlier,
right.
we keep giving life to all these things because culture-wise, we've decided to playfully, you know, utilize these things against. Or utilize certain things against solid family structure. And so now here we are dealing with tons of consequences because we haven't taken time out to just make sure that certain things are always familiar, certain things as far as mom and dad are going to stick together, you know, 70, 80 years and do what they got to do no matter what. Those are things that we say, oh, that's old. So it gives children this thing now to think, well, shoot, having to love my parents as my parents for my whole life, they start to think that's old too. Like, that's not something we do anymore. So, you know, I don't have to love both parents, or I love both parents according to how I want to love them, if I want to love them. You know, you have all types of stuff that comes in. So, to me, I think it's a much deeper dive into it that's necessary. You know, that there's so many factors that come into play. It's kind of hard to really answer, you know.
See, this is what I'd like to say about this. This subject was so profound because it was brought to me. Just the whole thing was brought to me by a fan. Somebody reached out to me recently, and we were sitting there talking, and they was like, "What determines a family?" I was like, "Well, basically, mom, dad, sister, brother, and maybe some cousins." But they said, "Nah, that's not what determines a family. If blood does not really determine family." I said, "Well, hold on a minute. Let's look at this." And I said, let's talk about this. So this sort of thing that I'm going to put it like this. We will have a be continued on this subject later on. We might bring it up this rest, in the middle of this rest of the season, or we'll bring it up next season, part two, do part two next season on NSF Radio. So, but I would say that the understanding of the family dynamic and how it's built and the structure as it's been put together over the years is a component in this that is called the unspoken part of the family dynamic, why it's set up as a family dynamic, why the structures and languages are there. And here's the thing. Now, we can go biblical with it, and the biblical part is we look at Solomon and Gomorrah, the city of, you know, Solomon and Gomorrah. We look at the aspects from Greek mythology and Asian mythology and teaching as well. And if we look at that, we will see that these boundaries were put in place for moral situations because of sexual issues. Now, I'm going to bring it out. I'm putting it out. Most people will just go tiptoe around it, but I'm coming straight at it right now. These boundaries were put in place because you say, well, that's your sister. That's your blood sister. You ain't supposed to sleep with your blood sister. Or you ain't supposed to do this. These are the issues that come up with this. And it comes with it. These names and titles were put on into place because of a sexual situation of saying, don't cross this line. This is the consequences of you crossing this line. And if you do this, this is what will happen to you. And nobody really likes to talk about it, because you look at it. You look at the Book of Ruth, and you look at Solomon and Gomorrah. You look at in history where you see some of those who are in scriptures having sex with their sons having sex. Even the Bible itself, the King James Version, King James has sex with his own family, within his own family. We have to look at these things and think, okay, guess what? Let's cover the meat and bones of it all. Because the meat and bones of it, on the core of it, is these boundaries were put in so that you can say to your mind, that's my blood sister, I'm not touching her. Or that's my cousin, I'm not touching her. I can say she's beautiful, I can say she's beautiful, I can say she's beautiful, but you don't touch that. But though there has people that cross that line over years, and it become what they call incense or incest, okay? That incest kind of mentality, and it's something that we really have to understand the dynamic of that all, and with these lines and borders. I'm telling you now, I love the lines, I love the borders, because guess what? It keeps you morally and mentally on a straighter path. That's my opinion, and that's my my conclusion on that part. So, Yeah, because I trust me, nobody wants to talk about this, but we are talking about it right now. So everybody, please call into the show. If you have a question, Kofi will bring you in. If you got a chat it up in there. Open up the chat, you know what I'm saying? Text it up on there. If you have a question, let Kofi know what's going on. He'll definitely let you know. And definitely keep it real for you. So listen, you know, we are on remote access. We are located today. We are in Southern Sanford, Maine, speaking to you live right here, right on NSF Radio. All right, we're going to go ahead into another commercial and let you hear from King Cam.
What's going on? You're listening to Midnight Oil with King Cam on NSF Radio, where you get music, motivation, and more.
All right. Don't forget, every Wednesday, every Monday, okay, and every week from 11 o'clock to 12:30 Eastern Standard Time, or from 10:30 to 11:30 Central Standard Time. So please tune in. King Cam is live. It is one of the hardest things we got on NSF Radio. Trust me, streaming live. Education, brother consciously, education is elevation. Well, guess what? He's educating you. But you also get to listen to some cool music and some issues that nobody's really talking about. Get into it. I hope to see you there. All right. But beyond that, we're just chilling, relaxing right now, trying to let you know that, you know, we are here. Please also, if you got a dime, if you got a dollar, you got something to crunch in the cooking, please support the NSF radio station. Go on NSF Radio. Go on NSF Radio on Facebook today. Click on the donation button. Donate today. If you want some cool clothes, you can donate that way. Buy something. Get you something that you want for your goods for your girlfriend. Get some custom high heels or shoes so you can take her out, make her look good. Get a nice dress, all right? Right there for you. Stylist right there for you. It's all you got to do is just come on. Just get on there today. We are also located on Instagram, too. You can get your latest products from NSF Radio on Instagram. And if you really, really want to get party and see some pictures, cool pictures, we are also on Flickr. Basically, we're on every platform that it is, and NSF is always around for you. Okay. All right. Man, anything else besides that? But Kofi, do you have anything else you want to talk about this?
I mean, not too much. I mean, just as far as, once again, I think you have to always make sure that you're dealing with the culture. You have to always deal with the things in proper context. And when you're dealing with family, you know, even going to some of those things like you were talking about, that's culture on that. So, you know, you hear people like, first of all, even if you want to go back into some of the stuff that you said, you know, if we're going to go into territory people don't necessarily feel comfortable in, you know, we can, you know, go all the way and not just dip the toe in. Because if we go into the Bible, like, even when people say Christian values, you know, the Bible is not for Christians because the Bible existed before that word was made up, you know, like, so even things like that culturally. So if you hear somebody say, well, the Bible says that you're not supposed to be around anybody and you're not supposed to love anybody and stuff like that. Well, those are also the same people that wouldn't look in the very Bible and say, okay, the Bible says that, yeah, you're not supposed to worship idols and do certain things, but the Bible also tells you that even though you're in the world, you're not of it. It tells you to love your enemy. It tells you to make sure that you are there for family. It tells you to pray for those, even those that would despitefully use you. So there's a lot of different things in there culture-wise that people don't really understand. And I think when it comes to love, when it comes to value system, when it comes to family, that's part of it. Even dealing in there, once again, think about in the Bible. Any Bible that exists, well, I won't say any Bible because we keep changing the Bible up, but any Bible that was supposed to it could be in existence, the original Bible, Paleo-Hebrew Bible, you're looking at everybody in there is always family and they're always living in the same place. So if you're if that's not what you're familiar with, if that's not your familiarity, then of course it doesn't make sense for you. But the reality is that everybody in there were together as a community. So once again, you're together in a community, but we're not looking at that. We're looking at ways to fall apart, to break apart, to say, well, this is not that, that, whatever, you know, there's sects just like there's Sunni, Shiite, there's, you know, there's Baptist, there's Methodist, you know, there's, you know, in Buddhism, there's people who believe in temples, there's people who are SGI, you know, it goes on and on and on. And if we're not careful, even in those things, we're using that as an excuse to try and break down what the actual familiar or family structure is. The familiar structure that was put for us was that, yes, husband, wife, children, et cetera, that's, you know, brother, sister, that's family. Why, though? Not just, you know, people say, well, I can't trust people. Well, yeah, that's true, you can't. But originally, that was not the case. We were born and raised in a system to where you should be able to trust your family. You should be your brother's keeper because you entrust your brother with your life. You should be able to make sure that you look over your children. But we're not in a system where we want to do that. So even like when you were talking about Dr. Gary Chapman. A lot of people don't want to hear this, but if you're going to read his book and follow his stuff, you got to understand Dr. Gary Chapman is somebody who believes in the Bible. So a lot of the stuff he's talking about comes with a religious aspect as well, certain religious thoughts, certain things as far as family being different than what many people in the world do. So if you're going to value his teaching, but you're not going to value the culture that it's coming from, then you'll probably won't get the results, you know, that you want to, because you're going to try and do some of the stuff and get the full result. And stuff like that, that it doesn't work. So we in family, we got to be careful with that. What's familiar to us, and are we willing to follow everything that these things are talking about to get that result? If not, or at least if we're not willing to study the culture of those things, then we'll never understand. That's how you can have people that are in school and have degrees and say that they're chemists, and yet they don't understand that chemistry comes from chemistry. So if you don't know about chemistry, then you don't know about chemistry, which means that you don't know about the science which you say that you speak on, and you don't know about melanin, you don't know about the system that they use, you don't know about how they even would be able to tie in astrology and everything to make those things work and have the pyramids built in certain places. You don't know about what Akhenaten's values are, and how he's, you know, they're fighting against things. Is it polytheism, monotheism, things like that? So these are all things that we have to take into consideration. If we're not going to take culture into place and figure out, is our culture one that should be designed on the familiarity of trust and love and experience as a people, as a family, as a community, with strong morality being the central force, you know, that that forges us ahead and fuses us together. If that is not our mindset, then we're doomed to failure. We can have all the nice words, we can say all the nice things, we can talk about, we read it from whatever canon and canonical viewpoint you want, but if our mindset is not to make sure that the culture that is the foundation of it is there, and that means we must live it as well, then we've already decided that no matter how strong we want family to be, whether it's friends or non-blood or whatever, we've already decided that we're committed to failure.
Yeah, you know, and that you do have to have the great understanding of what you are portraying or what you are putting into your mindset and your body, because what is mental becomes a physical manifestation as well. So when we have the diasporas of information in us, we have to be able to, you know, put it in its place, file it properly, and allow your inner being to able to coexist within itself. But if you don't have a great understanding of where you came from or where you're going, then you know what? Then you're doomed to be in a position to harm yourself. And we have to be able to look at these things on a constant basis so that when we, as a people or a community, you know, we have to be able to say, okay, we are surviving for these things. And the reason I use the term surviving right now, because what comes to mind is, if you've ever read the book Dianetics by L. Ron Hubbard, L. Ron Hubbard puts in his books, he says that you survive, with it basis, the basis of life is survival. He puts into the book, you survive for self, you survive for family, you also survive for community or group, you survive for extension of life. These are some of the kind of terms that was used. And within that basis of survival, you have certain tools that is given to you. And once you were able to use these tools properly, we will be able to show you that, okay, now I can live a long, productive life properly. So, if you know your family, you know your family dynamic, you have a comfortability within that family dynamic, accept it, hold on to it, grasp it, but do never, ever put yourself in a position to hurt yourself. When it starts to hurt you, leave it alone, walk away, give it some time, and then when you give it some time, come back, see if you can deal with it, and if you can't deal with that situation or that dynamic of that family, then either don't cut it off, but just walk back away, keep peace in your heart, and move on through your day. So we have to do these things right now and keep everything moving and just love yourself, people. That's my main message today. Love yourself. Be family to yourself, most of all. And everything else will always fall in place. My name is Brother Alfred. This is Brother Kofi. All right, we just wanted to be able to sit down and just talk to you today and get into the aspect of, we hope to hear from you next week. So with that being said, Brother Kofi, play us out.
Let's start the show.
Tune in to NSF Radio. Your host, Brother Alfred, and Carl Ben Groovy.
When I call and you may not think that I care for you, well, you know deep down inside.
You're tuned in to NSF Radio.
All right, brothers and sisters, remember, I may fall down, but I get back up. This is Brother Alfred and Brother Kofi signing off. Peace.